I'm going to hang out down here tonight. Is that okay? Is that okay, Pastor, if I hang out down here? Curtis is going to hook me up with a thing, put my things on, so I don't lose my thing, you know what I'm saying? And so, I appreciate Pastor letting me preach. Sunday he asked me, and you're short, Curtis. How do you do this? Well, that's out of work, yeah. Thank you. You're my hero. I love you. I do, but it's all good. So Sunday, Pastor asked me if I had anything burning inside of me that I wanted to preach. I was like, yes. So I've got a thought and some thoughts, several thoughts, lots of thoughts that I have been meditating on for, I think, about 3 weeks now. Just the Lord put it on my radar somehow or another. I really don't even know how it showed up. And so when he asked me that question, that was the first thought that hit my mind, was these thoughts. And so I spent some time asking the Lord if that was for sure what he wanted to do. And so a confirmation yes on Monday morning in the garden. And so we're gonna spend some time tonight looking at this idea of faith. And it's a subject that I've looked at a lot before. And I guess I've learned things before, I don't know. But here recently, just learning some new things, some new perspectives. And it's not really new, it's been there all along, I would assume, in Scripture. And other people have practiced these ideas and thought of it this way. And so, but it's just really been influential in the way I'm thinking lately, in the way that it's growing inside of me, and how faith is operating in my practical life, and how much that makes sense, and what it looks like, and how far I fall short of this idea of faith that I've shifted a little in my mindset on. And that's all because of just time with the Lord and thinking through this and meditating on this idea. And so I'm wanting to spend some time with you tonight talking about this idea. What do I believe about faith? And we're going to look at that. And I hope that 3-4 weeks-ish of meditation pays off and doesn't cause a bunch of confusion. Because I got a lot of thoughts. I got a lot that, as I was even studying for knowing tonight was happening, I'd already been writing down lots of things. And so to collect that into something that makes sense tonight that can be helpful to you is a task. And so I hope that the 3 to 4 weeks of meditation pays off and benefits you and not distracts you or causes confusion. So that's my disclaimer tonight. I'm locked and loaded and like double-barreled kind of a thing, and we'll see what happens. Okay? And so I do want to pray right quick, and because I believe that prayer matters. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I do want to pray. Father, wow, you are with us tonight and you are here, and I'm looking forward to what you're even going to teach me. You just taught me some things in the song service even about faith. And maybe you'll share that through this. It wasn't planned, but it's an amazing thought just to meditate on that even more so in the songs, and how you lined all those out, and we sang those songs according to, I presume, your will tonight. And I'm thankful for Brother Curtis's ministry to us and how he seeks you to make sure that we are following you in our worship, that we are pleasing you. And Lord, I know his heart. I know how much that matters to him. And so I'm thankful for that tonight, Lord. And I just want to say thank you for being faithful to us and to our church. meeting with us. And even on a Wednesday night, your schedule was not too full. You were not too busy. And you've already met with us. You've already walked in this building corporately with us. And the fellowship has been sweet just in song. And I know my heart is rushing and lots of things on my mind to relay in this subject. And I don't know exactly how that's going to go, but it's been sweet just to fellowship with you tonight, to sing of your goodness, to sing the truths that I believe with all my heart. So Lord, to put that into the activity of worship tonight. Lord, I hope that you've been pleased with what we've done so far. I hope that our faith has pleased you as we have sung and lifted up these songs to you. Father, would you take our time that remains and would you bless it for your glory's sake? Would you help us to hang on to this truth? And Lord, I pray that if there's any error in my thoughts or wrong ideas that doesn't please you, I pray that you would squash those and restrain those and help me not to just talk, Lord, but to be a voice of you. And I pray that you would be blessed tonight as we study your word a little bit and look at some illustrations and different things. And I just pray that you'd put it all together so that it would please your name. You are the audience that I speak to tonight. And I'm excited about clarifying that, even these thoughts with you, and just how you're going to gel them together even more so in my heart and mind, with the opportunity to share them publicly, and what that does as I'm able to exhort our church. And I just pray that you would help me, Lord. Give me the grace that only you can give. And I stand leaning on you tonight. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to the book of James, the popular passage, James chapter 2. And we'll have some of these scriptures up on the screen, if that works. If it don't, you'll have to use your Bible, which you should use your Bible anyways. It'll help you, but it's up there as well. And so I wonder, what do you believe about faith? If you was to take a survey tonight, what would you say? What runs across your mind when I bring up that common subject of faith? I wonder what you think of. What has occurred this week that is tied to your faith? What difference has faith made in your life? And I hope that as a Wednesday night crowd, your impact in your life, faith, the impact that faith has made, I hope that it's significant. I hope that you have seen faith to be a profitable way to live. And I hope tonight that maybe you'll learn a few things and it'll be even more profitable to you, because it's an incredibly valuable subject. And God deals with it so much. We're just barely going to touch the surface tonight of what God has to say. And I am still learning so much as I've been thinking on this. Like, man, there's so much here. It seems like every time I turn to a new story or a new passage, just, wow, that's when I run it through this context that I'm going to share with you tonight. It's amazing what God may do. And so as you're there in James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, it says this. Well, I'm not even there. Too much talking and not enough doing. James chapter 2, it says this in verse number 17. It says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." This passage has caused a lot of controversy. I don't think it's necessary in reality, but a lot of people believe that this is actually teaching faith works salvation, and that you can't be saved unless it produces this kind of action and activity. You have to do something to earn salvation. I mean, there's a whole controversy. I don't really even want to deal with that tonight. But I do want to look at this passage just a little bit. There's several passages that I want to go to as we think about what do I believe about faith. And I don't know if you're like me, but these are some of the things that I've believed about faith. One is a power that moves God. You have this, if I can just have enough faith, then God will step into activity and He will do something on my behalf. I can even, some people go as far as being able to manipulate God. That's crazy. God's not manipulated. But we think that sometimes. We think that it's this power and this ability to move God. Or here's another one that we think sometimes is wishful thinking. Some people think that. That if we just think about it and we wish it enough, that it will come true. And that's not faith at all when you look at Scripture. Here's another one that's a pretty good one, is confidence in something happening. That you believe this is going to happen. It's this gut belief, this like intense belief that it's going to happen, and because of that faith, it happens. That can be another thing that people think. There's all kinds of ideas. I just listed three that are possible. But there's some things that I want to share that I've been learning about faith. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But here's some graphic illustrations. This is one that I like. People think of faith as being this meter, that the more faith you have, and you can see how God is with the question mark over here, and then planted, you know, it's small, really insignificant. And then the more you grow in your faith, the more you're able to exercise faith. You move into Doubting Thomas level, which I don't even think that's appropriate phrase for Thomas. I have a whole other reason for that, but I think we've ruined that whole deal there with that word doubting. I think he was operating exactly the way God designed him to operate. And he was pleasing God when he said, "I need the proof." I think that. And we can talk about that later. But then you have that walk on water faith. You know, Peter able to step out of the boat and walk. Hey! Right? Peter must have had some kind of faith. And then you have that extreme faith, which is that mountain mover faith, to be able to, you know, based on that passage in Matthew, to say, to this mountain, move into the ocean, and it does it. And so, like, we think of this way. We think of faith as this, like, the more we squeeze it out, the more it more effective it is. Like, right? Like, the more you flex your spiritual muscles, the more, and you got to move that meter over a little bit to be pleasing to God, to accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. That's a graphic illustration of what faith is. Here's a really popular illustration. You ever seen the chair illustration? And I actually like this illustration. I think it's a good illustration, actually. And I've come to appreciate it even more doing this. It's basically the illustration that you sit in the chair that you're sitting in because you have faith that it will hold you. Okay? And I'm going to take that illustration, I'm going to change it just a little bit tonight, and we'll see that here in just a minute. But that's the illustration, that if you have the faith, you exercise that faith, and then you sit there. It causes you to sit in this chair. And so we'll look at that a little bit more a little bit later on. But here's the thought that I really want to run all of our thoughts through tonight. This is the kind of the crux of the message tonight. And it's this: faith is the activity of our theology. Faith is the activity of our theology. I'm gonna distinguish this just a little bit so that you understand where we're going to be going. And I'm doing this so that you understand, okay? It's really hard to divide. I'm finding it's really hard to divide the spectrum of theology all the way to faith. Like, where does the hard dividing lines, and how does that in your brain? So I'll give you this for our framework tonight. I want to stay away from faith being the belief. Now, it is a belief. It involves belief. But I want to talk about faith as the activity of your theology. And as God was explaining that to me, I was like, what? It doesn't. And it took a while of meditation. But the more I look at Scripture, the more I think of faith as an activity. It's action. And the more I'm finding myself lying with James's camp, more so than I ever thought I did. I did, but I didn't know why exactly, I guess. And so I explain it this way. Faith connects reality to what we believe. When we believe a particular truth, there should be action that follows, even if it's small. You actually demonstrated this thinking of faith probably today. It was this. Anybody go to work today? Yeah? Yeah, it's a good thing. Some people don't go to work on a regular basis. They have the other kind of faith. They just believe the checks are going to show up. Right? Yes! Got a check today. That's what they think, right? And that's a lot of times the misconception of what we think of as faith. But actually, this is faith. Did you know that you're not guaranteed a paycheck? You're not. I mean, you could show up and work all... I don't know what you get paid, if you get paid weekly or bi-weekly, monthly. You could show up all month and no paycheck at the end of the month. It's possible. It happens. Businesses go broke, or they get in a mess, cash flow problems, and they don't have the money to pay you at the end of the week. And so what you're doing is you're living on faith. It's an activity. You go to work and you punch that clock and you give them your time. You sell your time. But they haven't paid you. It's all on credit. Sometimes I pay my guys a week behind. So they're working 2 weeks on credit. It's based on the fact that they believe I'm going to pay them. So they take action. It's an activity. They have faith in the belief that I'm going to pay them. They believe it. They don't really have any reason to doubt it. So they believe it. And they have faith. Not the belief. I want to separate those two for a little bit. They have activity. They punch a clock. Because they believe something. They have a theology of sorts. And so they take action. They get busy. They punch the clock. Because that is an illustration of faith. So back to our text. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The more I think about this idea, James is he's separating the two out. But I almost feel like it's because he's trying to help us understand what faith is. But in his mind, it's one and the same. He said, "It's faith without works is dead." So if there's not, it's almost like a body without blood. Pastor talked about that, is dead. It's one and the same. It's not two separate things, though it is two separate things. Is that kind of making sense? And so I wonder if when I read it and I meditate on this passage, it starts to feel like it's more one of the same than it's this and then that kind of a thing. It's It's the activity of our theology. So you take what you believe and what you know to be true from Scripture, and then you take action because of that. Y'all are here tonight, hopefully because of faith. Sometimes, and most of the time, I'm afraid that we're not here because of faith. We have a belief, but we're not here because of that belief drove us into action. We're here because this is what we've done all our life. Or we're here because somebody told us we had to be here. And some of those are good reasons. I'd rather a bad reason for you to be at church than no reason at all and stay home. But hopefully, you are here because of what you believe. At the core of your decision to come here tonight was your theology, I hope. But oftentimes, I've noticed in my own life, I do things not necessarily because it's my theology in action. My theology is not necessarily connected into my reality. So we're going to look at that a little bit. So then in the book of James, James gives two examples. Actually, three examples. One negative example in verse 19, he says, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well." See, this is the distinction, okay? Faith is not the belief. Because he says, if you believe that there's one God, that's a good thing. Right? He expects you to believe that there is one God. That is your theology. But he gives this negative example and he says, "Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." This idea of faith being a belief, it sells you short. Because the devils have a theology. I heard somebody, I was talking to somebody, I think it was Curtis maybe, or I can't remember who it was. But it's sad when the devils have better theology than we do. And they do. They have a very accurate theology. And probably more so than any of us. They know their theology. The difference is, they have no faith. It's not because they need to be convinced of a truth. They believe the truth. They don't want to take any action based on the ramifications of their faith. Do you see that distinction? It's a subtle distinction. So he says, if you believe, that's good. But that's not faith. Faith is the activity of your theology. And the devils do not, they do not have faith. They don't take action based on what they believe in God. They have a different set of things that they have faith in. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." He's back to separating it again so we can look at the pieces. But in reality, in my mind, I see it as he's saying it's one thing. It is the activity of what you believe, your theology. And then verse 21, he gives a positive example. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar?" This is where it gets hairy, because you're like, see, it's works salvation. No, it's not. But through faith, he took action based on what he believed. I hate to say this word, but it proved what he believed. But it's way more than proof. It's not just a proof. It's almost just a natural reaction that was intentional. Because the Bible says in other places, we're not going to go there, that Abraham actually believed that if God allowed him to take the knife and plunge it into Isaac's heart and kill him, he actually believed, his theology said, that God will actually raise him from the dead. Because he promised it was through Isaac that the world would be blessed. And that was his theology. And so his theology took action. And it was called faith. It was normal for him to raise the knife because that's what God said to do. That's what he believed God wanted him to do. And so he took action. And based on that action, not the belief, but the action, based on his belief, and I don't want to cause confusion, God justified him. God accepted him as one of his. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called, I love this, he was called the friend of God. God had a best friend. His name was Abraham. He had a couple others too that I would put in that category. Enoch, Moses. We've been reading about Moses a lot in Numbers. But Abraham was his friend. Because of Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, the activity of our theology, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abraham was a man of faith. He took action based on what he believed. Okay, so then he moves on. Another example. In verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? You remember that story, they're in Jericho and she knows that bad times are coming for Jericho. Because she's heard stories. And she believes the stories. She has a theology. A pagan woman, a harlot, has a theology. She has things that she believes about God. And so because she believes that, when God's people show up at her doorstep, she's like, I'm going to protect these people. And her theology steps into action because she believed that theology. She had faith. And she hid the spies. And she rescued them and thwarted the whole plan of her home people because of her faith. So there's a few examples there, and we're going to look at a few more before we make some application and some practical things that I want to share. So there's another passage that I come across in my meditation. There's a few others, but this one in Mark chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, he's likening the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Every time you look up the mustard seed or any information about a mustard seed in Scripture, it's connected to this idea of faith. And so I want to share some things that God was sharing with me out of this passage. And I went back to look for a message that I preached a long, long time ago on this passage, or maybe one of the similar passages to it. I couldn't find it. I didn't know where it was. But I've changed what I think based on this last few weeks of meditation about the mustard seed. I, best I can remember, when I preached this message before, I believed, and I don't know, I'll show you what a mustard seed is if you don't know. Maybe I'll show you. There it is. It's a little bitty guy. I mean, it's a tiny thing. And I thought, and I think I preached this, that it was a long time ago, it was back even before Pastor even came to be our pastor, that faith is so powerful. Faith is so amazingly able Like, with just a little faith. Like that little bit of seed. With that amount of faith, you can change everything. And I believe that still, even so, but I've developed on it, I guess I should say. I don't know that Jesus is so much concerned with us having only a mustard seed of faith. But He actually wants the tree. We'll look at that. I want to break that down. So back to Mark chapter 4. We'll read the passage. Mark chapter 4, it says this. As soon as I get there. Mark chapter 4, verse 31 says this. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. It's a little seed. It has very small mass. It's tiny. And so He uses this mustard seed idea that when you plant this, you sow it into the earth, you take action based on what you believe about. I mean, if we're really talking about the mustard seed, you believe that you plant a seed and there's going to be a mustard plant that comes up. That's what you believe. And so you take action based on the belief. Farmers do it all around here all the time. This is planting season, and they will spend millions and millions of dollars just right around us planting corn. I meant to ask a farmer friend how much it actually costs to plant an acre of corn. I think it's around $600 an acre, just for the seed alone. And they're planting thousands of acres of corn. It's a special seed. It costs a lot of money to buy the seed. And so they have a theology, if you will. They believe that if they put a seed in the ground, it will reproduce and turn, I think the number is 255-ish more kernels of corn. It's a exponential thing. So for every one they put in, they get 255 out. And they lose a few here and there. But they believe that. And so you know what they do right now? They are out there planting. I was driving home from Dalhart today, and I bet I saw 6 planters in the field. And they're huge. I don't know if you've ever seen. We're not talking about going out in your backyard and planting. We're talking about things that are almost as wide as this entire room that plant 80 rows of corn at a time. I mean, they can plant entire fields in just a few hours. And it's amazing. You get on the tractors and they're automated. I mean, they spend incredible amounts of money. Because their theology says, their belief says, that if they plant corn, they'll get more corn. So they want to plant all the corn they can get. So they squeeze it into these little bitty rows, and it's perfectly spaced, and there's fertilizer dropped. I mean, it's a crazy operation. Right now, they're practicing faith. They are out there, action happening because of what they believe. And they believe that in the month of September, they'll pull the combine into the field, and that combine will amazingly open up thousands of ears at a time and shuck them and pull the kernels of corn out, and they will have a return on their faith. It will produce something. That's they're doing that right now. They'll work till 1, 2, 3 o'clock this morning, faithing. That's a real word, but it's my word. They're faithing out there. Because they believe something. So they're taking action. Okay, so here's the deal. You got this little seed. And Jesus says, if you will take action and you will plant this seed. In verse 31. Yes, 31. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. In verse 32. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." He wants you to start here. But this isn't the goal. Like, to have just a tiny bit of faith that's so potent that it changes the whole world. That's not, I don't think that was his goal. This is a start. This is his goal. And I kind of think about it this way, that in your own particular life, he wants groves of these trees in your life. He wants you to start with even just a small seed in a particular area that you believe. Sow an action, like get busy with that belief, whatever it means for you. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. He wants you to sow that so that it turns into one of these. And then he wants you to do that with everything else you believe so that you end up with a grove of these. Like, that's what he wants. He doesn't want you to just be content with the little bitty potent seed of faith. He's saying start there. That's what I'm thinking. Is he saying start with that little bitty seed? Because what happens, under the right conditions and with the right circumstances, that little bitty seed turns into this huge tree. And there's benefit to this tree. There's shade. I mean, aside from the storm cloud, it'd be a hot day. It'd be pretty nice to be underneath that tree with a hammock. Or a little rocking, like one of them camping rocking chairs, you know, the glass IC. There's a huge benefit to that, right? It makes a difference. It changes the landscape. And if you had a whole grove of those, you really got something. And so, we got to get rolling. But here's the first thing. We've already said this, but I want to say this again. That I'm learning, and I'm trying to wrap my brain around, is this. That faith is the activity of our theology. Here's some examples. And we're just going to mention these. You can write these down if you want. There's just so many. I think there's like 236 mentions of the word faith. Just the word faith in Scripture. I'm not talking about the faithful. And then you got belief, which is the same thing. It's just a different word in English. I didn't even count those. I mean, there's so much. So I'm telling you, you can spend a long time looking at this. But this is some of my favorites. Luke 7:6, it talks about the Roman centurion that wants Jesus to come and heal his servant. Remember that whole story? So he goes and he finds him and he tells him this. And I found this phenomenal. In Luke 7:6, he had a faith that was the activity of his theology. And you say, well, what did he believe? He's a Roman centurion. For one, he believed that Jesus could do it. But there's something way bigger than that. Because the whole thing about him not wanting Jesus to come home with him was based on a belief. He knew that he was a Roman, a Gentile. And it would be dishonoring to Jesus if Jesus came into a Gentile's home. And so because of this belief, he's like, no, Jesus, you don't even have to come home with me. You have all the power. But to me, the most marvelous part of his faith, the activity, was that he believed that Jesus would be dishonored if he came into his home. And he didn't want to bring dishonor to Jesus. So he's like, no, please don't come home with me. Because of what he believed. And he took action. So he left and he went and found Jesus. He had faith that was activity of his theology. It's an amazing story. There's another one. John 4:50. This is a story. A man that needs his son healed. And he's like, Jesus, this guy actually tells Jesus to come home with him. And Jesus is like, no, you don't need me to come home with you. Just go home and I'll take care of it. And he's like, okay. And so he runs off. No argument, no question. He has activity. And it's that story where he's running home and his servants come to meet him and they're like, hey, he's all better. It's all good. No problem. And then they're like, well, when was this? What happened? When? All these things. They're comparing notes and watches. He's like, well, that's when Jesus told me it was Jesus. I knew he would because he said. So he did. He had a belief and he took action. It was not a, like, oh, I don't know. Jesus can do it. I know he can do it. Okay, I'll go. No, he just ran home because he just had a belief. And his theology was bridged into reality by faith. So here's another thought. Faith is intended to grow. Your faith is not intended to be small. Your faith is intended to grow. So you take what you believe about a specific aspect of God or church or why you're here tonight. I mean, there's so many things that we believe. But the activity that you do based on what you believe is intended to grow. It may start small as a little seed. It may start when no one knows that you're planting that out in the garden of your spiritual life. But because of what you believe, I'm going to do this one little thing. I'm going to plant this little seed. God, I believe what you tell me. I know it's not the mustard tree, but I'm going to plant this. And I'm going to take activity. I'm going to take action because my faith is going to grow. And eventually, hopefully, at the end of your life here on this earth, you've got some mustard trees that have grown into these monumental demonstrations of faith. But it doesn't start there. It starts with just a small activity. All right, here's another couple verses for you. Oh, here's a quote. Famous guy around here. Faith only grows if it's exercised. I heard this a week ago, I think. It's like a muscle. Your muscles ain't going to grow if you don't go to the gym. Or at least dig with a shovel or do something. Activity, right? You have to have activity. They're not going to grow on the couch. Something else grows on the couch. Right? So you have to exercise your faith. It has to be in action for it to grow. It will not grow just because you squeezed it out or because you're really confident. It has to be put into action to grow. I love that. Here's another one. Mark 9:24. This is when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples that were still there tried to heal his son who was possessed with a demon, always casting him in the fire, burning him from when he was a little bitty boy. The disciples couldn't do it. And so Jesus comes down with Peter, James, and John, and he's like, what's going on? And so they tell him the whole story. We tried, but we couldn't. Sorry, we don't know what's wrong. And so he talks to this man, this desperate father. And he says, if you believe, faith, the same word, if you believe, action, if you believe, it'll be done for you. And he says this, it's amazing. When I saw this, I thought, wow, I've never seen that before. The dad says this, he says, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Lord, I've come here and I didn't know what else to do, but I came here. I took action. It's all I know to do. It's all I can do. But if there's more action that I need to take, if there's something else that you want me to do, just help me to know. Help me to do that. Help me to take activity based on what I believe. Because I believe you can do this. And he says, Lord, I need you to help me grow my faith. Help me believe. He believed enough. And it says in the scripture right there, Jesus took care of the problem. But he wanted it to grow more. He wanted his faith to be even bigger than that moment. So it grows. Here's another one. This is coming up a ways down the road on Sunday mornings, I'm assuming. Lord willing. Hebrews 12:2. Did you know that He is the author and the finisher? I never saw that before. But did you know that Jesus wants to start faith in your life and He wants to take it all the way to the finish line? He wants it to grow. He wants, this is Jesus' design, that He's going to take you from mustard seed to mustard tree. He is the beginning of it and He is the ending of it. And that's what He expects. He expects you to go from chapter 1 all the way to the epilogue. Is that what's all the way at the back? The appendixes. Them things that are way back there. Nobody reads that stuff. Like, He wants to go all the way to the end of the book. He's the author and finisher of our faith. It grows. Here's another thought. When faith grows, it becomes a bigger blessing. When you're around somebody and you're just amazed at their faith, like somebody tells you a testimony and you're like, wow, I don't think I could ever have done that. You're probably right. Now. And neither could they have. But because they invested a mustard seed somewhere way down the way that nobody saw, nobody ever knew they did it, they planted a mustard seed and then it grew. And it grew. And now everybody sees the mustard tree and they're like, wow! Because it grew. But you know what happens when it grows? It says in that Mark chapter 4 passage that we looked at earlier, it becomes a blessing, like a huge blessing to the kingdom of God, to people. You inspire people. You can accomplish more than you could when you're back in that little seed stage. The end of the book is always better than the beginning of the book. And so when you invest that little seed and when it grows into this huge tree over time, and it takes years for that to happen. But when that tree grows, it becomes an amazing blessing to the kingdom of God. It blesses the kingdom. Here's a passage that will come up too. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith... Now, this is going to get practical, okay? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe. That's not like theology. Okay, if I've said anything tonight, that word believe is not your theology. That is your activity. I hope you can distinguish the two. And I hope I don't ruin you over that. I hope it helps. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, faith is the activity of your theology. Without the activity of your theology, you cannot please God. You just got a really good set of beliefs, just like the devil. Without the activity that comes from your theology, you cannot please God. So real quick, here's some practical things. These are some areas that I have been noticing that we have problems with having faith in. What I'm talking about, faith. Singing. You have a theology about what we do in a worship service. I know you do. You believe that we are worshiping a holy and omnipotent Creator God. That's what we believe. I mean, that's... Every one of us, I'm assuming, believe that. We believe there's so much more that we believe. But you know what I watch from the sound booth a lot of times? Theology with no faith. People believe it. Now, let me ask you this. If you really believed, which you really do believe, which is crazy, but if you really believe what you believe about God and what we're doing in here on a Sunday morning, like if poof, God all of a sudden showed up right here on the front row, do you think that would change some things? Yeah, it would. Now, I'm not saying that we have to fall prostrate on our face. That's not my theology. I can enjoy worship. I can sing and hallelujah, I can extol Him. I can be excited in worship. He wants all of it. He does want the falling on your face thing. But He also wants the joy, and He wants the somberness, and He wants the... I mean, there's so many emotions and things that come with worship as an activity. The problem is, most of the time, we have a theology of worship, but we don't have faith to worship. There's more on the list. Prayer. If you believe in what I believe about prayer, you would pray more if you had the faith to pray. Most of the time, we don't have the faith to pray. We believe something about prayer. We believe that it's the most important tool we could ever access as a Christian. But we treat it like it's the activity that we do, the lack thereof, is so insignificant. No one walking down the street beside your prayer closet would probably believe that you actually believe what you believe about prayer. We have little faith. And Jesus said that over and over again, "Oh ye of little faith." It's not because they didn't believe. It's because there was no action. There was no activity based on what they believed. There's more. Sharing the gospel, inviting a friend to church, investing in eternity. And we believe that we're investing in things that moth and rust don't mess up. Like, they don't corrupt that stuff. That's what we believe. But our faith, most of the time, doesn't line up with that belief. Our activity doesn't line up with that. So here's my struggles. Some big ones in my life. Ministry. When I surrendered to go into the ministry, I wrestled, like, okay, so if God is really God, and I believe He's God, doesn't He kind of get to decide what I'm going to do? Isn't He kind of the main one that decides what I get to do with my life? That was my theology. But then I had to have faith. I had to put it into action, and it sent me into Bible college. That was probably my first, looking back, big struggle with ministry. The second one was discipleship. I struggled with discipleship because I saw what I saw in Scripture and I believed what I've seen in Scripture about discipleship. But it wasn't like what you see in most American churches. And I wrestled and I wrestled and I wrestled until I could finally have the faith to sow a mustard seed. And I started discipling people. The way I see it in Scripture, the best way I know how. After Jesus' model, not normal church model, Jesus' model. So I sowed a mustard seed, and in the last 4 years, I've grown, and I've got a little bitty tree over here. And I'm enjoying this tree. It's not huge yet. I want more for this tree of discipleship, but it's way better than anything else I ever did in full-time ministry, getting paid to do things that I did. Because I sowed a little seed. But I can tell you, and I can tell you a story that we don't have time for, of just the fear of sowing that first little seed. And once I finally sowed it, I can tell you the amazing story of how God began to germinate the seed. Up popped a little plant, began to water it, took care of it, and it just into this little tree that I love right now. The third one, it was my intimacy with Christ. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own, right? We believe that. Jesus stands waiting most of the time for people that believe that to have faith. All my believers don't have no faith. And it took me a long time to sow a mustard seed of faith and intimacy with Christ. And it's blossomed into a bush. Maybe even a little tree. I love my little tree. My intimacy with Jesus Christ. I love it. I'm not perfect at it. I'm still sowing seeds in other areas, that same area. We have a belief about intimacy with Christ, but we very rarely have faith in our intimacy with Christ. The last one, this is where I'm at right now, is soul winning. We believe so much about soul winning, yet we have never have the faith to go out and actually do it. You know what I'm doing right now? I've got four people. I usually try for five, but I got four people on a prayer list that I'm praying through two or three times a week that they'd be saved. And I'm looking for opportunities. And praise the Lord, one of those got saved 3 months ago. He's been to church a couple times. Because I'm watching that seed of faith. I got to sow a seed. I mean, I believe all this stuff, but I don't have no faith to go along with what I believe. And so I start taking action. And it's incredibly hard. And I'm struggling with soul winning right now, just to be transparent with you. I am a horrible soul winner. But I imagine so are you. Polls say that most people will never win another person to Christ. It's like 96%, 97% say that Christians in America will never win a single soul to Christ in their entire life. That's a lack of faith problem. It's not a theology problem. Every one of them believe that it's important. It's a lack of faith problem. So here's what you do, and I'm hurrying. Make sure you believe the right thing. Pastor stands in the pulpit and teaches us things week in and week out. And he teaches us scriptural accuracy. I'm so thankful that he's gifted for that design in the body of Christ. And what we're learning in Connect about repeat, you are learning things that are good and right. But make sure you actually believe, make sure your theology is right. Go to a little bit of trouble and just make sure that you believe the right thing. Don't just believe it because the preacher told you. Don't just believe it because it sounds good and it makes sense. Actually believe the right thing. And then do this. Start with a small action because of what you believe. Look for a mustard seed moment. Okay, God, I believe this about you. I believe that you are the sovereign, holy God of the universe. I believe that. So this Sunday, I'm going to sow a mustard seed. I'm going to come in and I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to open my heart. I hate singing, Lord. It makes me so uncomfortable. But I'm going to sing just a little. Just a little mustard seed. Look for a way to sow a seed of faith. Just a little one. Based on what you believe. And then, if you're brave enough, ask somebody if they're convinced of your actions, by your actions, that you actually believe, for that example, that you are worshiping a holy and righteous God. Does the person sitting beside you in the pew actually think that you believe that? Based on your actions? Based on your faith? If you're brave enough, ask them. Hopefully, if they're brave enough, they'll be honest. May not be. And then here's the last thing. Exhort one another. That was back in Hebrews chapter 3. We need each other. That word exhort is an action word. It means to excite to action, to activity. We need each other daily, not just on Sunday morning. That's part of where we went haywire, is we don't do this enough. But we need each other in our lives. Saying, hey, come on, let's sow some faith right now. Let's sow a little seed together. Me and you are struggling with this whole prayer thing. Me and you tomorrow at 9 a.m. at McDonald's in the parking lot. We're going to pray for 15 minutes together. Really? Yeah, me and let's do that. Let's see. And I'm going to exhort you and you exhort me. Let's show up and let's do it. Just 15 minutes. We're going to pray. I don't know what your seat is, but doing things together, exhorting one another daily, can be an incredible help to sowing your seeds of mustard, your faith. So what do you believe about faith? I've shared some of what I am trying to understand and been excited about lately, about faith, where I'm at, but I wonder, what do you believe about faith? What is faith? Make sure you have a good theology of faith, because your faith depends on what you believe. Make sure you believe the right thing about faith. Take some of these things and go home and look at that. Take a concordance and look it up. What do you believe about faith? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Lord, I just ask that you would take these thoughts, and if there was something that was horrible, you would wipe it out of their brain. But if it was something that was a little seed of a thought that would help, it would get them to the place where they need to grow to, Lord, would you please culture that into a little bush? Help our church to be a church of faith. We can sit in the pew and look really, really good, all the while our community and the world needs our faith, not our theology. I am praying, God, that you bless so that we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.